Hey listeners, Lex on the Decks here. Before you get stuck into this episode of Hot Girls, I wanted to let you know about something else you may be interested in. Though Hot Girls in its podcast format isn't releasing new episodes any longer, if you head over to my Substack, which is lexonthedecks.substack.com, you'll find more interviews and insight on gender minority artists and how to overcome any barriers to entry. You'll also get the opportunity to sign up to my weekly newsletter, 5 Good Things. This is an email letter which will land in your inbox on Fridays, sharing 5 of my favourite cultural or creative discoveries of the week. You'll find all that on lexonthedecks.substack.com. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy this episode of Hot Girls.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, and welcome to Hot Girls with me, Lex, on the Decks. Today, I am boosted by the energy of Alakai Harley, a UK dancehall top shotter. Alakai's career accelerated fast after a friend suggested she challenge herself to write, record, and shoot a new video every week. She was like, okay, I have no money or resources, but let's try. In the 10th week, she recorded a song which got picked up, signed, and changed her life, racking up millions of streams and views on YouTube. Since then, she has not stopped, and through this 40-minute conversation, she shares that journey, pulling back the curtain on the resilience she's needed, and also saying thank you to God for the blessings and the support in the trying times. Alakai Harley on the Hot Girls podcast. Let's go.
Ladies. Listen up. You're listening to Hot Girls with Lex on the Decks.
We in the mix.
It's fire.
Keep it going. We on fire.
From London for the world.
Let's go in.
I've always been told as well, my mum always says this thing, Wilikobot with Talawa. And it's like, it's a little island, but such an impact on the world, you know? And lots of that is through music and stuff like that.
So then when you moved to London, whereabouts did you settle?
I first came to Peckham, and then only for like maybe a year. And then I was in Tulsil kind of area. And then like for the rest of my life since year 7 when I was 12, I've lived in Croydon, Fortney.
Stay south.
Proper. South.
did you ever think about like, I don't know, going north or east or west? Or were you just like, no, I like my place?
You know what? Yeah. I've just never lived in any of those places. Yeah, so I've never actually thought about going there to live. I wouldn't like say no though. Like, yeah, I don't mind moving around. So, but I guess I've been used to South London.
And so when you were growing up, where was it a lot of Jamaican music that you were listening to? Or was it really just like music from everywhere? Like what was most of the music you were listening to?
I'd say whether I liked it or not, the Jamaican music was going to be like, I was going to hear it in the house and all that stuff. But I was definitely listening to dancehall and all other genres as well. I'd say mainly it would be, then again, I listened to everything. I'd say, well, obviously American influences, hip hop and stuff like that. And definitely grime. Like I was that kid that would stand up in front of grime and UK rap, stand up in front of the TV watching Channel U.
Really?
I'd say literally all of them. I listened to all that music, you know?
Yeah. And when you first started having the inkling to become a musician or artist, can you remember that? Was it really early on in your life or was it later on?
I wanted to be a singer before I even came to England. So from the earliest stages of life that I can ever remember, I'd already wanted to be a singer. It's just, I can't explain it any other way. You know, like, I feel like I'm the definition of I was born to do this. And that's the best way I can say it because I can't tell you how I found music, how I understood singing, anything like that. I can just tell you that I've been doing this And I always, this is always what I wanted. Yeah.
Yeah. Really amazing that you're doing it now, because I feel like there's a lot of people who probably had that inkling and were told by people it wasn't a regular idea or whatever. Mm-hmm. So maybe shut it down. Did anyone ever say that to you? And would that have ever had an impact if they did?
No one's actually directly said, don't do music. But however, I'd say probably every single teacher I've ever had has probably said to me, find a plan B. It's not that they didn't love my music. I love the way I sang, but that was what they said, isn't it? You need a plan B, and it might not work out. And it was kind of always that. That's what I always heard. I never really listened to the plan B thing. Because I was just like, I mean, I've done other things, but I was just like, I always had faith. And I feel like I never clocked why everything just went through one ear and out the other, and I didn't really business. But it's because I literally had faith. Like, I never thought I was ever going to starve. I didn't think God was going to do that to me. Like, I always had faith that this was my purpose, and
yeah,
it's crazy. Yeah.
So before Golden, before you started releasing any of the music that you did, what was the stage before that when you first maybe started testing the waters as an artist?
So in 2008, I recorded a song called Daddy's Gone. And I put that song on YouTube, and like, that was kind of me dabbling into, like, you know, the first stage of, like, well, for me, as young as I was, it was the start of my career. I was 12 and it was the start of my career. And so I started putting out stuff, and then in once I got to about 14, 15, I think I did open mics here and there. Funny enough, not all of them I could actually, it was even my age, but I was there, boy. And I did a lot of open mics, and like, I performed, and I did competitions, and I actually auditioned for but I always did the backstage auditions. I auditioned for The Voice, Britain's Got Talent, and X Factor, like all the backstage auditions. Oh, never got to the front ones, crazy. Yeah, just like, I probably never even said that. But yeah, I did so much of those. And then in 2015, I kind of just decided to work on myself as an artist. Like, it was, I don't know, it was a weird moment, because it was just like, I don't know, I was just like, this is it. And so I basically decided that I was going to work on just performing. I was just going to focus on just performing and building myself as an artist and not putting anything out. So I did that for a year. And then coming into the end of the year, someone said to me, why don't you start putting out like stuff every week? Like, because she was around me and she saw how I created, but she felt like I wasn't able to. She felt like people needed to, I needed to offload, basically. Mm-hmm. And she was right. I needed to offload, so because I was just creating. And I guess the open mics were good because I would write the song the day before and be able to rap it next day. And yeah, so she was like, do something where every week you release something and you shoot a video for it. And so I said, okay, I'm going to challenge myself. Let's do this. And I had to write these songs in a week, record them in a week. And everything, bear in mind, I ain't got no money, so how
yeah, sway?
Literally, how sway? But yeah, all you need is a faith of the size of a mustard seed, literally. But obviously, I decided that's what I was gonna do. It's crazy because the devil really tried to come at me. Like, I even got sick whilst I was doing it, like, lost my voice, everything, and just had to push through. And every week I did it, every Tuesday, it was called Hot Shot Tuesday. And every week I made sure, even if they got it at like 11:59 PM, yeah, on a Tuesday, they got it. Like, and then I always thought that the 10th one would have been a song that I was doing at open mic, and it kept getting wheel ups, the song that I'm talking about. So okay, I said the 10th one is going to be that. But it's funny because, bear in mind, I said to myself that, and I said to everyone, it's going to be, I record the song, write the song in the week, and I record it and put it out. And that's how it has to work. That was the honesty. That was the transparency. But however, I thought to drop that one as the 10th one, it would be cute because everyone wanted it anyway. And it would be nice for them to have a real version to listen to. And I recorded it, and that wasn't it. Like, literally, God said no. Like, that wasn't it, boy. I was just like, no, that's not it. And yeah. And so I felt like I was in a bit of a place of, like, I was stuck, and like the days were coming up on me. And then I think 2 days before the Tuesday, I went out to a place called Scandal, was a party, a yardie party. And I didn't even like going to places like that at the time. I was really like, anxious and stuff. But I went, and from the party is where I got the inspiration to come home. I came home and I wrote Gold. And I wrote Gold and finished Gold. I think I only had the bridge left to do in the studio the next day. And as soon as I was writing Gold, like, I could see the crowd. I just knew. It's like I'm just sitting there and I'm writing it. And I'm like, wow. Wow. Like, after all these years, this... Wow. And it was just so crazy. So I wrote it, and I just knew, like, as in I knew I was going to put it out. And it was, I just, yeah. So yeah, I wrote that, and I called Karma. No, I called Lavelle London first, actually. Big up Lavelle. And I said, please record me, record this. And he was like, I can't. I think he had a session or something. And then I called Karma and I was like, please. And I think I came down the next day, recorded it. I don't even think I slept properly. And then I called Lillian and I said, I called my friends basically. We need to shoot this. And we shot this video, we shot this mini video. We did the best we could with everything that God gave us. Like literally, and he says, use what I give you in it and I'll give you more. I literally used everything I had, shot it, edited it the same night, stayed up, put it out in the world. Yeah, but like everyone just received it and it was just amazing. And from there, it grew and it got picked up by Shani B, got signed by Polydor, X Brockout. We had a new video and yeah, that's how it was before Gold.
Wow, that is
how it was.
An amazing story. And also, aww, like I really, really love that quote that you just said. I think I don't know if it's a Bible quote, but you said, use what I've given you and I'll give you more.
Yeah, I'll give you everything. Just use what you've got, what I've given you, what you've got, and I'll give you so much more than you can even imagine.
Yeah, I love
that. And that's exactly what he did.
Well, it's kind of mad though, because like I was thinking when you came out with Gold and like the music video and stuff, you looked so ready to be an artist. And maybe that's because, do you know what I mean? Like I think a lot of artists, like it takes them quite a long time. You know, there's like quite a few almost like, the early performances and the early videos can be like not necessarily uncomfortable, but you can see someone's like coming into themselves. But yeah, from the outside, it looks like you were already there.
Thank you. I feel like as well, it's because there's actually other videos that you get. Actually, like there's a whole catalogue of a whole, like that's another thing. I've gone by another name and everything as well. So it's like a proper journey where even though it kind of seems like, oh, you were ready, realistically, it's just that I guess I got to do my own little artist development, innit?
Yeah,
and I guess it's crazy because it's like once I found the song, it's like I was ready as well because I'd done so much artist development trying to, you know.
Yeah, but no one ever sees that stuff, you know.
For real. One thing I can say with my fan base, a lot of them are still from Hot Shot Tuesday. A lot of like I still have like cool, like it's weird, it's crazy, and but it's beautiful at the same time because a lot of them did see it and they are still riding, you know. And yeah, I'm grateful for that as well.
Yeah, that's super powerful. I think that's true with a lot of really successful artists as well. Like early fans spot something in them that they just love.
For real.
So when did you become Alakai Harley? Was that literally just before, or was that through the process of Hot Shot Tuesdays?
It was in 2015, Alakai Harley. So initially it was going to be Alicia Harley, because Alicia is actually my middle name. First name Leslie Ann, middle name Alicia, last name Harley. And so I wanted it to be Alicia Harley. And then also the reason why I wanted to finally use my name is because I initially wanted to use Leslie Ann because my dad gave me the name Leslie Ann, but then I realized that my last name is also my dad's name, so my last name as well. So I decided I wanted to keep the Harley and I was going to do Alicia. And then because Alicia is spelled, my Alicia is spelled the same way as Alicia, I felt like it would take so long for me to be able to get picked up, if that makes sense. Like I kind of understood how like Google worked and everything like that at that point, like really analyzed it. So like I was like, oh, it's gonna, if I want to change the name now, I kind of set myself back a little bit, especially knowing that I don't have money for promo XYZ. So I felt like, oh, I need to make it easier, that it's easier to come up. So I swapped around the last two letters and I thought I'd push the narrative of the fact that it's spelled A-L-I-C-A-I and just say Alicia, because in my head I was like, everyone's gonna look at it and they're gonna say Alicia, where I swapped around the last two letters. And then I was in the studio with Karma, and then she called me Alakai, and I was like, bro, it's Alicia. She's like, so why do you swap around letters? I was like, you're the only one that's done doing that. Yeah, everybody else in the world is going to say Alicia first time. Even if it's read as Alakai, I was like, they're going to say Alicia. And then, so she was like, nah, it should be Alakai. And I was like, hold on, because I only just decided to do it, by the way, the day before.
Yeah, you're like, what? I've only just decided this. Come on.
In it. So she's like, nah. Literally, she's like, nah, Alakai. She's like, there's a ring. It just feels like, she's like, Alakai. And I was like, as she said it, I was like, wait, Alakai. I was like, hold on. But I didn't, it's weird because you know when you don't give someone a satisfaction straight away?
Yeah.
Like, that's too easy. I've been thinking about this all week and you think you're going to come to me and tell me about Alakai. But yeah, she did that. And then I said, okay, let me sleep on it. And I went home and I slept on it and I prayed on it. And I came back and I said, it's Alakai Harley. But the only difference is that I said the only way it's Alakai Harley is you gotta make sure as well the accent is on the last I, because that way if you put it on YouTube, it's Alakai. So it actually is Alakai. And then yeah, so we was now went to open mics and I was now, because I think I'd gone to two open mics and said Alicia Harley. So now it was just like, it's Alakai Harley. But the funny thing is, yeah, I was still right, because everybody definitely still says Alicia.
Really? Even now?
It's so funny because that's like the biggest mess up, isn't it? That happens all the time. Everyone's like, oh, I thought your name was Alicia. And I say no and I feel like I'm lying because like my middle name is Alicia. It's just like, just forget about it. Just make sure you can find the music.
It's not that he's like, you know, often where people get annoyed at their names being mispronounced. They're like, why do you say that? But you're like, I know exactly what you're saying now.
Do you get what I mean? I can't even cuss them. Because people expect me to cuss and I'm always like, oh, no, it's Alakai. But in my heart, it's because I know I sold you the short, bro. And I get it, innit? I get it. It's mad, but yeah. So that Alakai Harley.
Yeah. What's that, Amara? So then what happened next? Like, was that aftermath of Gold quite surreal? Because it's just like getting that pickup, and then did it all feel like it moved really quickly from there?
I'd say definitely. I think it's only probably maybe like last week that I realized I don't think I ever breathed. I don't think I ever stopped. Like, I really don't. In terms of like, to even take the time, I always like, I'm a very grateful person, and I'm always like counting my blessings and just be great. But I don't think I ever, you know, realized how much years it was, even though I'd be like, oh, in 2017 when Gold was signed, I never realized, oh my gosh, 2017, we're now in 2020. And it's only literally 2 weeks ago that I got to proper sit and realize that it did go fast. And when it started happening, I literally had tunnel vision. I don't think I looked left. It definitely went fast.
That's amazing that you did, though. I was watching some of your interviews earlier and I saw that you kind of had a pretty tough personal time at the same time as that career takeoff was happening.
Yeah.
So how did you, like, did you find it, I guess if you had tunnel vision and you did a lot of self-talk to just be like, go, go, go. But it must be super hard because as an artist, you're expected to be like, have like all this energy and be super positive and like just be like on really good form all the time. Did you have like ways that you were kind of, I don't know, speaking to yourself to be able to maintain that?
It's crazy because the thing with me is kind of, I've always had this joy, like as in, it's not happiness, it's joy. It's like, it's a different thing. And that's based on like things happen. And I had that when I was young, and it's mad because I've been trying to pull and find that again recently. Mm. But I had that joy in it. And it's just like, and I feel like I got that joy from God, honestly, because it's just like, things are going to happen and things happen, but it's just, you know what I mean? Be grateful. And that kind of kept me through. So even when my ex passing in 2017, whilst everything was going on, I found a way to take out joy, man. And like, I don't know how I did, but I just prayed and I did, because, and that was a main part of having that tunnel vision, because that had happened. I felt like if I had stopped, I would have failed. Like literally, I would have just let the world swallow me because it was so difficult. So there was no way I could have breathed. Like, honestly, I know I couldn't have stopped because it was like, nah. You know when it's just like, hey, what? It was that little bit of a head spinner.
I also sometimes think of it as like, have you ever, like, I don't know if you're like a gym goer, but have you ever had to run on a treadmill when it's not turned on?
I haven't, you know.
Do you know what? It's horrible. Don't do it. I had a personal trainer for a bit and I remember that he made me do that. And it's like, it only moves if you keep pushing it. And if you slow down, it just stops moving. And I always think of that as like a bit of a metaphor at times when you're working. It's like,
yeah.
You kind of can like keep going, but you know that if you think too much or you're like, you stop your legs moving, the treadmill's going to stop and then you're going to have to start it again.
For true. No, yeah, that can be the feeling for real.
So in terms of actually like establishing your sound and like those sort of stages kind of like working out exactly what you wanted to maybe sound like, was that a big process for you or was it just a very natural thing? I feel like in your voice you have quite a few, you've got soul in your voice, you've got like, you, there's a lot of things, different kind of flexes that you can do as an artist, like you're just one of those talents. So yeah, how was that process for you?
It's crazy because that was definitely a journey. It was definitely a journey because I guess the world makes you feel like you had to pick something, you had to pick one and whatever.
Yeah. And people will even ask you that, won't they? They'll be like, so what are you?
Literally. And it's like, literally, that's what it is. And I, it was really a journey, but I feel like that journey was everything before, you know, everything before Gold, when I was doing open mics, when I was doing this, and you know, that was all that time. And especially in the Hot Shot Tuesdays, that's when I literally, it's crazy because I did every single Tuesday, the sound was different. And I feel like maybe God wanted me to look at myself, you know, look at yourself, like this is what you do. Not because you decided, oh, I want to follow fashion to do this musical. You literally would write this song. I write a song because that's how I feel. If it comes out as a dancehall tune, it does. If it comes out as hip hop, if it comes out as jazz, if it comes out as gospel, it's literally just whatever's coming out of me. Does that make sense? So, and yeah. I felt like I had to go through that Hot Shot Tuesday to realize, not because my man decided to box himself in or my girl, literally, you naturally cannot. It's impossible. And even more so now, I've realized I can't. I was never born to do that. Like, as in all the things I naturally do is because, you know what I mean? It's just, yeah. So I really had to go on a journey and clock it. And yeah, once I did the Hot Shot Tuesdays, from then I kind of realized though that, because when Gold came, I realized it's just like, just write what you feel like, innit?
It's really interesting. It's really nice. You've already spoken a bit about faith and like the role that's played in your life and God. And like through this podcast series, it's basically, I do like biography episodes where I look at different artists and their careers, and pretty much, I think all, I can't think of a single artist I've looked at that's been really successful that hasn't had a strong faith or a strong relationship. Is that something that you've always had growing up? And like, how has that kind of guided you and shown up, I guess, at different points in your life?
So for me, in terms of faith, I always had faith. I got to big up my mum, man, because she literally just, from I've been like, you know how I said, as long as I can remember, I've been singing. For as long as I can remember, my mother has always said, in everything you do, put God first. In everything you do, put God first. In everything you do, put God first. And you know, you hear it in and out your ears, in and out your ears. But I know I'm going to be telling my kids, in everything you do, put God first. Because when you do, it's different. Like, it's not even leaning on your own understanding. It's just like, it says that in Bible as well. Don't lean on your own understanding. Just put him first, and it works every single time. And did I even answer the question? Yeah, you can just tell. Yeah, it's just amazing. I'm sorry. But yeah, with faith. Wait, what's the question? Sorry.
I was just talking about, like, has it been consistent in your life? Has it been something that you've worked on, or you've just always had it?
No, I would say it's definitely something I've always had. Obviously, sometimes your faith gets knocked, you know, and my one could have been knocked yesterday, you know, and it could have, you know, that happens a lot of the time. And I just ask God for strength, and, you know, because I'm human at the end of the day, and I go through things, and things are going to happen. So they're going to add to feelings. And sometimes that can make our faith decrease. And sometimes we'll be asking God for stuff as well. And it's not, and I'm like, so that happens as well. And I'm like, huh? But I always seem to have, at least, like I said, a faith the size of a mustard seed. And that's good enough. So I know at least always have that much. Sometimes I might, you know, step away from not praying, or, you know, or I just feel like I might just be indulging in all the wrong stuff that, it's not because God said it's bad, but I know that it's just not good for me to excel. But I don't think I've ever lost faith completely, not at all.
Yeah. And then another thing that I've noticed that like a lot of successful artists have in their lives that's really helped them is a really good circle of people around you. True. Like, who are some of those people for you who have been the kind of people that you've worked with behind the scenes that have been really valuable?
I would say the first person would be So Special K, SSK Music. He's a producer as well and one of my bestest friends. And that was from before Gold, I'd say, because of the fact that I think I was praying so hard for God to like bring someone that loved music as well and stuff like that to be around me, but that had faith. And he really helped me with my faith as well. And just because before God, I had this moment of not knowing what to do, because you're like, hold on, I was Christian, and then da-da-da-da-da. And yeah, I feel like, so he's a significant person, I'd say. But all the people are around me though. Black Russian, my manager Omar, like literally, they've added definitely, like, you know what I mean? I think the people in my camp anyway, like, is definitely powerful.
Yeah. Are there a lot of people that you've kind of grown up with? Or like, how did you come together with them? Because I'm just thinking, like, if people are sort of, say someone's super talented and they're like trying to get in the music game, but they don't necessarily have anyone to turn to, like, did it feel almost like good fortune that brought you together with these people? Or did you actively look out for them?
What's crazy is that it's all about, you have to go out there, innit? Because I'd say with Rush, I met Rush at a performance in Shoreditch, which was a girl, Rush is my tour manager, by the way, Black Russian. I met her at Girl Gang a couple of years ago. It was Girl Gang in Shoreditch. And she actually saw me, she was seeing me online and she came to watch me. That's how we connected. When she spoke to me at the time, I'm not going to lie, anxiety was killing me. She's like, I was thinking, get away. At the time, it was really, really uncomfortable. But and it was so funny because she clocked that, and no one had ever clocked that. And she pointed it out, not at that point, but down the line. And it took even quite a while for us to, you know, end up like her being my tour manager. But that was literally just that. That was at an event with my manager, Omar. That was through a family member previously. because he's previously a manager as well. I think it's a lot of this industry, like, because I have a lot of people that, you know, I think it's all, yeah, it's different. It depends.
Yeah.
It's out there, isn't it? And you feel it. You feel people's vibes. Like, yeah. vibes is a big thing.
Yeah. It's so funny, like, those early meetings that you have with people, and then you get to know them better, and then you come back at them and think about what you thought about them, first of all.
For real. I didn't even think nothing bad. It's just that, I don't know, I just come off stage, innit? And she was, like, talking to me, and it's like, I just thinking, can you let me breathe? Literally. I felt like,
This is a really quick question, but, like, do you think the feeling before going on stage or after going on stage is better?
Probably the feeling after coming off stage. Oh, is it? Because I like being on there as well, isn't it?
On there can probably be the best.
On there is the best, but coming off there probably rather than going on. It's crazy because I was speaking to my manager and I feel like, because the time went by, I didn't realise at the start of my career, even though everybody thought, oh, Ali's jumping on mic, innit? Like, I'm better up any stage. They don't even know. I was so shy. There was, really? My manager reminded me of the other day, literally, I need to wee. Oh my gosh. Like, literally, and I never clocked, literally, every single time it was me next, you know, when it's next, I like, guys, I really need to use the toilet. And I never realised how, and then I'll panic, and I'll be like, oh my gosh, can we pray? And it's only recent that, like, I clocked, oh my gosh, that all went, you know what I mean, I grew. This, because this was after gold, that was happening, and no one even knew. Because by the time I got on the stage, it was just like, you know, whining.
Yeah.
But before that, boy, that was proper panicking still. Like, my belly would turn in. It's mad.
Yeah. With that, like, energy, that, like, high energy that you bring on stage, and also I feel like nowadays with social media and stuff, it's like not just energy, but also there's like constant pressure to be always on form, even like with your appearance as well. It's like, do you find that natural, or are you good at that? Because I guess, like, I'm coming from someone who's not. I'm like, need to put makeup on. You know,
this is a thing. I'm so glad you answered this question. When I was growing up, yeah, I could never see myself, first of all, anybody see me without makeup. Me without makeup, without my hair. And I think that's just based on your surroundings and what people have said to you, X, Y, Z. But for a very long time, that was my own insecurities. And I always wanted to, I'm a person where if I've got an insecurity, I'm kind of willing to stand up in front of people and kind of feel cringe and kind of feel like I'm dying inside, just as long as after I don't have that insecurity, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So for a very long time, I wanted to kind of, you know, not wear my makeup and be on, like, after gold. And I'm going to be really honest, after gold, I wanted to be on my Instagram sometimes, film my makeup on my Snap, da, 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 da. I'm not going to lie, there was people around me that was definitely, you know, making it like it was, no, because you've got to keep up a certain way to do things, you know what I mean? And for a very long time, it got into my head, I'm not going to lie to you. But I feel like it takes away you being a human being. Yeah, and that's one thing I've always wanted to keep, the fact that I'm a human, innit? And also, it takes away you from being a human being. It was messing with my insecurities even more, because what am I hiding? Because every single one of us, do you know what I'm trying to say, we don't wake up with makeup on our faces and all these things. And that's what I'm saying. 2020 has been a year of greatness, and glory be to God, because I couldn't care less, honestly, whether the makeup's on, whether the wig's on, whatever. It's just like, I don't even want people to love me for any of that. It's honestly my heart, and I don't want to love anybody else for anything that they have on them either. I want it to be for my heart and what I do and what I stand for, everything else. I don't want it to be for nothing of my look or my appearance at all. So now I don't business. I obviously dress up myself. I go out how when I want to go out. I love makeup. I love hair. I love looking pretty. But there's no way I'm killing up myself feeling like I have to present a certain way, especially when I feel like there's a narrative being run as if people are supposed to look like this every single day. Like we're naturally supposed to be looking pink every day. Like we're naturally supposed to be having makeup on. It's actually a lie. I'm like, huh? Are you mad? So... yeah. I'm not conforming still, because in reality, the normal thing to do is not necessarily even put on makeup. So it's like, I want everybody to know that it's not that deep, innit?
Yeah. And also, like, let's be real, like, it's not people, it's women. Like, guys don't have to.
Do you get me? Literally. But yeah, no, so I'm proper glad that now I'm definitely comfortable in my own skin. I think even shaving off my hair this year as well helped.
Yeah. This is going to sound really like, maybe not, but like, was that a big decision?
Was it a big, I wanted to do that for so long. And it's crazy because the time I did it, the year before that, I looked at my Snap and I wanted to do it. The year before that, I looked at the Snap, you know, the Snap memories. And I wanted to do it on the same, around the same time. As in it was on the same day, actually. That's what's really funny. But I have a Snap, basically snaps of just me there's two different snaps. One of me showing my hair and I'm washing out my hair and I'm basically like, I want to cut the hair and it's saved in the memories, but I would have put it up 2 years ago. Yeah. Then the last one is just me sitting there saying, but I never put up that snap last year saying, I'm just going to cut my hair. Everyone needs to stop telling me no. And it's so crazy because they kept on telling me, no, 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 no. Once I cut that hair, boy, I just felt free. Like, I just really did. Like, and that's what I mean by I'm okay to, you know what I mean, step out of my comfort zone to be broke, to break free from whatever's holding me, if that makes sense. Like, for example, being insecure about my, about showing your own hair. Okay, take it off. You get what I'm saying?
So, yeah. 100%. It sounds like this year has been quite a big year for you in terms of just like reflecting on stuff and coming into a new space for yourself as a person.
Definitely.
What are some of the things that you think you've learned this year or maybe brought into your life that's made it better?
I think no matter how far you think you've gone in like being sad or feeling hopeless or just anything, God will always take you out of it. That's actually what I've learned. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
No matter how hurt you think you are in anything, there's always hope. There's always hope if you have faith. That's what I've learned.
Do you do like any journaling or any kind of practicing, or do you just do a lot of thinking to kind of get yourself beyond into different spaces?
So the thing with me is I do sometimes way too much thinking that I even need to. I overthink everything. So I do a lot of thinking. I don't actually journal, but I think maybe that's what my music is. Because the thing with me, sometimes I write down little poems on my phone too. So I think I just, that's how I express through music, or I sing as well. So even though I don't necessarily mean like I've sang and it's a song that's going to go out, but literally just singing, just freestyle and just, that's how I express, musically.
Yeah. So going into 2021, are you on a new label deal? Did I make that up? What's your label situation at the moment?
I'm with Parlophone.
And when did you sign with them?
I think it was in May this year, May 2020, I think.
What are your release plans and what have you been working on through this year, and then what are your plans for 2021?
The good EP. So the Red Room intro, your calendar return EP. That's what I'm looking forward to. The EP dropping. I've been working on the EP. I've been working on so many other stuff like to come out like around everything, but definitely more music. There's music actually already lined up, like ready. So I'm really excited about that for 2021, early 2021, and everybody just more music.
With the EP, did you have like a really clear, did you know exactly what you wanted to do with it, or did you make tons of material and then pick?
Tons of material. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, obviously you start and you have stuff and you think it's finished and it's actually really not. And then you're taking off and you have to break it down. But to be honest, my manager did say to me, he was like, if I didn't have that problem, then something would be wrong. It was a good problem to have to try and narrow down the EP, you know?
Yeah. Simple question, or maybe not. where's your happy place? Where's the space where you're like, oh, this is contentment?
Do you know what? I feel like at times I thought I knew where it was and stuff like that. I think I'm on the way to finding it. Wherever it is, God's there. That's all I know. Because that's when I'm feeling most happy, you know, when I listen to gospel or whatever. So I don't know where it is right now.
I feel like maybe say this from like what you've said, and then you can be like, no, Lex, that's not right.
I'll go.
But I kind of get the sense that like maybe you're not someone who is like, oh, my happy place is like sitting on this sofa in this room. Like whenever I sit there, I always feel good. I feel like you can be happy in lots of different spaces depending on your like emotional space.
Yeah, I think you're correct. 100%. Like that's literally it. I don't think there's a specific place though. Yeah.
That's nice.
I think it's
that's
just liberating. Yes, energy. Yeah.
You were nominated for MOBO this year. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
It must have been a bit like, I can't go because it's not.
I know, but it is what it is, you know.
It is what it is.
God's will.
Yeah. Are you planning for live shows and stuff through 2021, or are you just like, let's just take it as it comes?
If I'm planning for live shows, definitely planning for it. But I mean, the people got to put it on. Like, if I'm accepting the bookings, yes. But obviously, you know what I mean? Like, the same thing, like, that coming into this year, a lot of stuff still got, you know, cancelled. It's like, I mean, it's out of my hands, but if I'm accepting the bookings, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, I've got a couple of, like, final questions for you. One is about goal setting and, like, planning. Do you have a process for doing that kind of thing? Or do you just know in your own mind, like, okay, I want to get here as an artist. Let's just go on the journey and work it out as I go.
There's times when I've written down stuff on paper. maybe like 2 years ago and stuff like that. I guess I just need, I'm hoping to maybe find them in one of these boxes or something and read them one day. But I don't think I ever actually look back at them. I think for me, I just kind of, it's more of a memory thing. Not so much something I write down anymore. It might be something I need to do. So I'll be saying this now and tomorrow. Now I'm thinking I might go write down some stuff. Sometimes that stuff like that's good as well. Just so you can, you know, know where you are. I know they say if you don't plan, you plan fail. I mean, I ain't failing, but you know.
You're doing all right, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing all right, but yeah. I might start, but no, I don't really. I'm going to keep it as a mental memory and kind of know the purpose of why I'm doing what I'm doing.
I was thinking earlier about instruction, and I was wondering how that came about, the track you did with Toddler Tea. And then I was also wondering, I hit you with two questions at once. Have you ever worked on a song like with someone, or has like done a feature on something that you loved that didn't get released?
So I'll answer the first one.
Yeah.
So the track with Toddler Tea, Instructions Festival, yeah, came out a year after it was initially recorded. That was nuts. Or a year after, I don't know. But yeah, basically, we recorded it. And it doesn't, what you guys hear now is not even what it was when me and Toddler was first in the studio. It's like it had elements, but we picked it apart. Like when in the studio with Nate Starboy and Nathan, like we picked everything apart, yeah. And like played with the song. But it's so crazy because I think the beauty of music and Crumbs as well, the beauty of music is that sometimes I might not be able to hear something, but my brother Toddler, he did. And he sent me a voice note. Yeah, I think it was a voice note. And it was the I think it was, because I feel like that's how it started anyway. And he said, nah, sis. And he was like, sis. So, nah, shout out to Nah. Because you sometimes record things, yeah. Like I said, we had it for a year. Because, you know, gone by your business. And the chorus was different as well. The chorus was, the chorus was completely different. I'm telling you, it was a completely different thing. But he heard something, you know. And And he said, nah, sis. And we went back in and we went back in and did about 3 different studio sessions to come back with instruction, how you hear it. And that's, I just love music so much, man.
Yeah.
Beautiful, proper. And in regards to the other question.
So the question was, have I ever done a feature that has not come out? Yes, I've done many. This is the thing. I haven't got a problem yet with it not coming out. I was thinking about this 2 days ago because I was like, nah, this is rude, you know? It's not that. It's you know the ones where me, if I do a verse with someone, yeah, I am giving you the hardest verse from my soul, like it's from my song. Everything I do, I literally will give it everything and go my best. And so it's like, huh? Do you understand that I could have put that on my song?
Yeah.
And one of the worst things yet is when you jump on the tune and then you kind of do your verse and you kind of dabble into what you kind of, you know, to make it kind of gel with what they did, you might slightly touch on something they did in their chorus. So then now you can't even just take your damn verse because they ain't putting it out and just flip it or something, because it's like, oh, bloody copyright, innit? So now you go pick, oh, it's just jarring. But so I ain't got a problem, obviously, because not every song's gonna be a banger. But what irritates me is just the fact that I'm like, damn, like that could have been for my freestyle for my Instagram. So yeah. But most of the times I do that anyway. I don't really fall away. But yeah, it does happen. It doesn't happen a lot.
Yeah. You just have to be like, oh, okay, we move.
Yeah, or sometimes it's taken, yeah, or sometimes taken long.
Malachi, thank you so much. I've enjoyed this conversation so much. If people are listening and they don't currently follow you, where are you at on the socials? Alicia Harley.
First of all, yeah, big up you for having me. Thank you so much. God bless you. And for anybody listening, it's Alakai Harley on everywhere. That's AlikaiHarley. And you stay blessed.
Amazing. Thanks everyone for listening, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye. What up, Lex? Surprise, good women we're destined to rise. Yeah. Inspiring, celebrating, uplifting the new generation. Some hot girls, you know the vibe. Yeah. All the hot girls come alive. All some hot girls, you know the vibe. All my hot girls come alive. Yeah.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.